Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Full Spectrum Cannabis with your hosts, Calandra Revering and Lance Asher. Go ahead, guys. Take it away.
Take it away. Here we go, right? So we've got Calandra. We know that. We've got Lance. We know that. We've got Kevin Hilliard, Flavor Pixels.
Yes, sir.
Inside Brewing. Did I miss anything? No. I mean, I'm sure you've done a lot of other cool things, but this is what you're up to now.
That's true.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Kevin, can you tell us where's Inside Brewing located?
We are located about as far east as you can be in Northeast. It is okay. On the 2800 block, 2821 East Hennepin. So just down the hill from the intersection of Hennepin / Larpinder and 280.
Okay. Mm. All right.
It's a nice tap
where that is.
Yeah. Nice tap room over at Inside Brewing.
Yeah.
Good beer over at Inside Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Selling THC out of the tap room.
Sure.
As well, which is pretty fantastic. I know Calandra was trying to ask some questions before, and I had to hit like that red staples, like like stop button. I think it was an order button, whatever that thing was, but that was easy, right? So anyways, I had to hit pause so that we could actually start recording.
Yes.
What are some of the, what was the burning question?
So I've been to Inside Brewing. Love Inside Brewing. I went to a cannabis event there. So I wanted to know your thoughts about the proposed change to the 2018 Farm Bill when it comes to hemp, and your thoughts about, do you think it is going to pass, that we're going to see these major revisions to the 2018 Farm Bill, or do you think it's just not going to happen?
You know, I really hope it doesn't pass. Mm-hmm. I think the Farm Bill opened an opportunity for hemp that maybe even the legislators didn't understand at the time. And really, people have done a great job, manufacturers across the country, making THC products that are truly helping people. You know, we hear every day, helps me sleep. I mean, that's great. U.S. government uses sleep deprivation as a torture technique for a reason. So if we can help with something like that, it's awesome. So I really hope they don't. But it's politics, right? We can guesstimate and think and feel. And really, the Democrat from Illinois that's proposing the change was, it's going to work or it's not going to work based on what the politicians decide to do. But I think for people in Minnesota in general, our fortune is that our legislators have legislated in a way that will allow us to continue manufacturing here. So in that regard, I'm not worried. But I am worried for my non-local producers that are out there in different states.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I was talking to some other lawyers yesterday, and it's interesting that some lawyers are not concerned, but other lawyers, like me, I am concerned because I think it is something we should keep an eye on, because it would literally devastate our hemp market, especially our beverages and our edibles. And even if Minnesota has its own legislation, the 2018 Farm Bill, that's federal. And I don't think we can legislate our way out of something that's federal law that's going to be very sweeping, and it's going to really impact our farm industry. So when you talk to other people in the beverage industry, can you think of whether there is a huge concern from their perspective, or do they think that maybe by the time a change takes place, that we will be safe because marijuana will be legal? Well, it is legal here, but I mean, we will have all of our rules in place. We will be selling flower, and that's something that we won't have to be concerned about.
I think as a lawyer, for sure, you'd have to be concerned because your job is mitigating risk, and risk of the unknown is still risk. I think it would be short-sighted to have the Farm Bill change in a meaningful way. But I'm not a legislator. I can only witness what's happening and take the smart people like you two and say, hey, what have you heard? But ultimately, what happens will happen. The federal tax treatment of the hemp bill is the important component for me as a business owner. You know, if you've got a federally legal substance that you're selling, you know, all of the great tax provisions that all of us get apply. You know, if you transition into the flower market or THC derived from marijuana, then you have an entirely different tax treatment where nothing is tax deductible. The businesses, in effect, make less because of that, because they're not able to deduct normal business expenses. Mm-hmm. So that's the important part from a running a business standpoint, from my perspective.
Yeah. And I think it would be devastating for Minnesotans who have started businesses, you know, like myself. You know, I own a dispensary, I own a hemp beverage. But it will also be really devastating for businesses like yourself, like Insight Brewing. I mean, the THC industry, you know, during COVID, I mean, that really saved our breweries. And it really catapulted Minnesotans to a whole different market. And, you know, our image across the U.S. with what we've done with hemp, we are leaders right now. Do you think it would be devastating for Minnesota businesses if this legislation passed?
I think it would definitely be harmful. Mm-hmm. And for anybody operating within the state of Minnesota, it would make folks that have invested in beverage brands have to co-pack someplace. And I can tell you that co-packing opportunities here locally are getting more expensive because capacity is limited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the equipment to make this stuff is not easy or quickly or quick to install. So it's going to cause problems for sure.
Yeah.
Or inexpensive, right? Yeah. Right. I mean, we look at Calandra, who has a beverage brand. I have a beverage brand. You have a beverage brand, but they're all THC brands. And if Calandra and I wanted to get on your schedule over at Insight, right? Like, you're jammed up. The only thing you can do is expand. Well, how far is it to expand? I mean, I'm looking at co-packing folks, and I'm happy with where I am, but capacities are going to be capacities, and we've got to figure out our redundancies, right? And some schedules are running into like September right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going, mm-hmm. geez, you know? So, you know, I'm hearing a couple of different things, right? You're a little bit more worried about it. And Kevin's like, I think we'll be fine on the beverage side of it. It could be harmful in these different manners, right? Mitigating risk. I choose not to worry too much, and maybe I should worry some more, but it moves around in my head in a different manner, where if I have that stuff in there, then it's not going to do any good for me, and it might stop me from doing the great things that we might be able to accomplish. You know, Farm Bill, there's a reason why there's nothing that's been done with it, and they continue to kick it down the road a little bit and figure some other things out, right? How much longer do we have until we don't have any decisions on it, right? Like, it's coming soon.
Yeah.
Within probably, by the time people are listening, you know, a month-ish or so after they start hearing our conversation here about it, then we're going to have a little bit more detail. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't want everybody to be too worried. I want everybody to keep doing what they're doing. And let's not go back to the legacy days of, you know, driving around in our car and delivering weed to our friends, right? And being scared right. about our businesses being taken away. Right. But it makes sense for us to have some concern.
Yeah. And, you know, as a lawyer, I'm really concerned because, mm-hmm. you know, that automatically, you know, tells me, you know, that I need to get in go mode. I need to start preparing, yeah. you know, but you got to remember, I'm also a helicopter parent, right?
Yep.
You know,
remember.
My kids, they're adults, and yeah. I'm knee deep in their business, and they're like, leave us alone,
right?
You know, they prefer to talk to dad because, you know, he doesn't fucking care.
It yeah. makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he cares, but his approach is just very mellow, right? You know, and he'll, you know,
he smokes a lot more than you do.
He does,
right?
Okay. He does.
So I
he
mean
does.
when we look at agitation level, I'm going to call it agitation level. So if we look at agitation level,
I don't know if Kevin would you call it okay, Kevin, I don't know if you're married, but you married?
No.
Okay, you want to be married? I got a lot of friends.
I was. I've been taking a break. If that was going on, you're taking a break.
I'm on a break.
I'm on a break.
You're on a break. There's nothing wrong with break.
Calandra's got friends. A lot of friends.
I got a lot of friends. I got a lot of friends. We can come up with a menu. Just tell me what you're looking menu. For. I've got all of it. I got a whole full spectrum.
Just a full
yeah.
A full spectrum portfolio of people. that I can match you with.
Yeah, because winter is coming. He's got to get a snuggle bunny.
Uh-huh. Snuggle bunny. I like snuggle bunny.
Minnesota. Hey, Minnesota gets cold. You got to have somebody to, you
know, that's
snuggle with in those cold nights, boy.
Yeah, that's why, what do they call well, anyways, everybody breaks up before Valentine's
Day. Cuffing season.
Uncuffing season. Yeah. So cuffing and uncuffing. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. That is exactly what I was looking for. But you could see I was like, and it was just not coming, which means might as well move on.
Yeah. But see, in the legal world, we say you might need uncoupling therapy.
Uncoupling therapy.
There is uncoupling therapy now.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
You can work on, you know, uncoupling in peace.
It's the mediator.
And then come back together when the snow comes.
It's the mediator before the mediator.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that'd be helpful. But usually by the time it's like, we're done.
Yeah. It's like, fuck you.
And then that's how it turns too, isn't it? It turns into
fuck you.
What happens. And you're like, oh, I knew you were mean sometimes, but this is a different level of hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
people come to me for divorce, I tell them, get ready to meet the person you didn't marry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they turn to a totally different person.
Here's an excellent feature of that process is you never want to see him again. It's going to be really, really easy to stop thinking about them because they're so terrible in that process.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't. In that process, usually there's one person that's very, very terrible, and then the other person pretty much is just like, what's the path of least resistance here?
Yeah.
So I'm not getting yelled at and getting lit up on a daily basis, you know, like we're gonna move through this thing, and then once we're then everything should be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it takes some years.
It does. It takes 30 minutes for the ceremony, but then like 10 years to get to know the other person.
Is the cost to get a license to marry, right? Because I remember it was like $30.
I think it still is $30. You can get it online.
But then it costs you like $400 to file, right? See, because it was only $30 for one person because you were doing it together. And then you go into the court system and you're like, now we want to uncouple things. And it's like $400 per person, right?
Yeah. Something like for the license?
Yeah. Well, the license to get divorced, essentially, the filing
fee. Oh, the filing fee is like $372, something like that.
I'm close.
But I'll tell you real quick. It's a good thing we're doing this on the end of the show. So when my daughter got pregnant, you know, like I said, I'm the helicopter parent. I'm the disciplinarian. You know, I'm the one the kids just like, don't tell her shit. We're gonna wait till dad gets home. Wait till Mark gets home. So when she got pregnant, you know, we went to dinner. And I said, you know, I'm having this conversation. I said, are you pregnant? She's like, no, I would never do that. And her sister's like, absolutely not.
And you're like busted. Ugh.
Suspicious.
So, yes. So, you know, I'm kind of squawking at home. And, you know, then she says she's pregnant. We finally meet the boy, right?
Sure.
So my husband.
You didn't even know.
Yeah. Hadn't even met him. And my husband, he apparently met the kid a few times. I say kid, they were like 20, 21 years old.
Sure, kid.
So my husband, you know, he's real chill, right? You know, and I can say he's real famous. Like, you know, he likes to get home, sit in the garage, you know, smoke a joint, you know, chill out. And I would keep telling him, Mark, what are we going to do about this? He's like, honey, calm down. Calm down. And now, you know, because I'm a lawyer, I'm going through all the statistics about single parent. Mm. You know, she's not going to college. What are we going to do? And he's just chill. And even the dogs are sitting by him, just chilling, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm squawking for a few months.
A few months?
Months.
Oh, no.
Do you
know? You're halfway through the pregnancy.
Yes. Yes. And she was due August.
Yeah.
Because my grandson's birthday is August 1st. He comes to me in July and he says, you know, because I'm in the house, I'm still squawking him. He said, the kids are getting married. I said, really? How did that happen? He said, don't worry about it.
Did it worry you more? Or yeah. was it the not yeah, being married? Yeah,
because now I'm thinking, oh, they're just saying that, right? You know how people say, oh, we're getting married. They're like, they're together like 20 years.
Back to the statistics.
Yeah, especially in the Black community. I'm like, no, Mark, this is we can't do this.
Right.
You know, he's like, honey, don't worry about it.
Yep.
So then we get to like the 4th of July. It's like a few days before the 4th of July.
Right.
He said, the kids are getting married on the 4th of July. I said, who? What are you talking about? He said, we're going to go to the Chinese buffet. And we're going to go, they're going to watch the fireworks and they're getting married. And I'm thinking he's crazy. He said, no. He said, I went online and got a certificate to ordain them.
Great.
And he married them. And they were literally wearing shorts, kind of like how Kevin is wearing today. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts
so,
too.
So after the wedding, you know, cause I didn't even go to the wedding. It was like.
Well, were you at the fireworks?
No.
Well, then you weren't at the wedding.
You didn't show up?
I didn't. Yeah. He just.
I knew you were worried.
I didn't even really believe him.
This is borderline not condoning.
They took like two of their friends as witnesses. And the next day I'm like, did you really marry them? He said, yeah. I said, this sounds like a shotgun wedding. And he just didn't say anything. I said, Mark, what did you do to that boy? He said, I just squeezed him really hard when I gave him a hug. He said, they will stay married forever. And I never questioned him again. And I also have a set of twin granddaughters.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
They've been married since then. They've never had like a big wedding.
Sure.
They're 26 years old now, and I have three grandkids. I never looked at my husband the same way again because I thought I was a crazy one. He's worse.
Well, usually, yeah.
And
I mean,
he still is
the
vocal very
one's
mellow.
Not the crazy one.
Yeah. Well, don't let him hug you. He's going to squeeze you really hard.
I know. We're going to find out. We'll give each other a good one. Also,
yes.
Congratulations on the break. We don't need to know how long it was. There's opportunity abound, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, just give me the menu. Give me your wish list.
Menu.
How about that?
Menu is being worked on.
Oh, yeah.
So he's chill. You're not. We knew that.
Yeah. That's why people watch the show.
Right.
Who wants somebody just boring and chill?
Right.
This shit's supposed to be fun.
It
okay?
is fun.
And we're talking about the industry and weed.
That's exactly.
Are we though?
And marriage. And
Are we talking about industry and?
We're back to it now.
Okay. Just checking.
I'm looping us back. I got some more questions. Okay. Next question.
Okay. All right. So Kevin. You know, there are all of these drinks coming out on the market, right? And I feel like, and I've talked to, you know, other THC hemp beverage folks. It's like, you know, in the next year and a half, some of these drinks won't be around because the market is, I mean, there's a lot of them. Do you feel like the market is getting saturated and that maybe a year and a half from now, some of these brands are going to disappear?
You know, I know customers really like something new. We see that in the alcohol industry where people want the next latest, greatest, whatever it is. And beverages are no different. So I think there's definitely a period of kind of tasting and awareness that people are going through out in the market. And, you know, I call on 100 stores on a given month. And so I get a pretty good idea of what the people running the stores are telling me. And what they say is that people are going through testing, trying. And they will eventually land on something that they like, and that will be their new favorite. Yeah, they may buy something different from time to time, but that is the process that they are witnessing. And this takes time because not everybody discovered that, you know, hemp-based THC is a thing. And there are still people my age that are like, oh, that's something that's legal? And you're like, yeah, I've been working on this for quite a while, and they're surprised. So, I mean, there's plenty of people that don't know still. I mean, even in markets in the outstate, you'll see St. Cloud or you'll see some of the markets that are non-metro markets. They're 6 months to a year behind in what's happening here in the Twin Cities. So it is exciting to be a leader. It is exciting to have a lot of brands. Mm-hmm. What we know is that customers vote honestly with their wallets. So we'll figure it out and it will be the brands that can sell and that can not live on somebody's shelf rent-free will be the brands that win. Mm-hmm. And yep. And there'll be opportunities for those folks to create new brands that maybe do work better. But variety is the spice of life. I'd love to see as many beverages. I'm trying them every week, and there's lots of good ones out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think what the largest challenge that the cannabis beverage space faces at this moment is the amount of shelf space that is being dedicated to it. So we talk about Outmarket, we talk about, you know, 100 or so visits in a month just for you, and that's not even the whole team. You got to multiply that in order to get the whole team, right? So you're seeing a lot of places, and you guys are in a lot of locations as well, and I'll get there hopefully at some point in time, and you'll get there mm-hmm. with me, right? But really it comes back to what is that shelf space, and there are a lot of these liquor stores. There's some that lean heavily into it, and then there's others that don't, and I'm not a dusting bottles person, right? Like you need to dust the bottles, but I can't dust that bottle too many times. Otherwise, I mean, that's why you've got to dust, right? You should be dusting on a weekly basis to see what is moving, what isn't moving, if you're not doing it with just the numbers. And so we look at some locations and they're dedicating 15 feet, right? And when we're dedicating 15 feet, we're talking about a 5-foot shelf stacked 3 high. And that's, mm-hmm. there's 3 shelves there. That's it. That's 15 linear feet is what is going on mm-hmm. in this example location, right? And then you look at all of the things that are not moving, right? Because we're in those locations. We see what's there. Some of these outer state locations that you go into, you're like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And then you ask the question, they're like, yeah, we saw a crap ton of that. And I'm like, all right, cool. But then you look at the rest of the stuff and you're like, well, what about this that's hidden over here in this back corner? How do you not move that stuff out? I think mm-hmm. the shelf space and getting retailers are starting to figure that out, right? You know, this is what I've dedicated. This is what I'm trying out. But trying out for a liquor store that's been around for 15 to 20 years, trying out is like 2 years of trying it out and giving it that kind of space when you should double the amount of space, have all of the things that you can have, keep it moving through, have your big players in there that are selling through for you, and then determine what you need to do. I really think that it's a shelf space challenge.
I also think it's a challenge with getting new brands out there. One thing I've learned in this space is when you have a new brand, you're going to give away like 30% in the beginning just to get cans in hand. So it's really hard with new brands, just kind of navigating these other brands to get yours out there. So with that said, how helpful do you think tastings are? Whether it's a liquor store or at a dispensary, you know, just having that tasting, you know, on a Saturday. Because that's what we do at our dispensary. But we kind of do it with our brand and with other brands. But what do you think a new beverage owner should do in getting their brand out there, the cans in hand?
The big thing is the relationship. I mean, you're never going to get on the shelf without that. You could have the best product in the world, and if they personally dislike you, you're not going to be on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So what I would tell every new salesperson that I have, show up, show up, show up, and good things will happen. And what I would also say to your tasting question, as much as you can afford to do, the better. It's marketing, and people, if they taste your product, they like your product, and your ambassador can direct them to the shelf and say, this is where it is, this is how much it costs, you'll do great. We have, for the brewery, we use for the flavor pixel side as well, we have 30 ambassadors that we send out on a weekly basis, and we taste Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, pretty much every week for the whole team. So we're investing heavily in it because we know it works.
Yeah.
So for anybody that's out there, if it was me by myself, I'd be out there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday smiling and serving up product. Some of the challenges that we found that may not everybody may not know about is a lot of places are asking us to make a product without THC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially the bigger they are, the more likely that is to be their position, which is kind of interesting. So if you're new and you're trying to bring a beverage to market, that might be something to think about.
Yeah. I've heard that too, but I've also heard a lot of people who really, really want the THC, because I'm finding that there are a lot of newbies, you know, and I guess they're not necessarily newbies, but I would say 40 and up, age 40 and up. They come in and they say, you know, I used to smoke in the 70s and 80s, but now I want to get back in the THC, but I don't want to smoke. And the beverages have been very helpful. But I'm also finding that people who have smoked for years, the beverages like do nothing for them, especially 10 milligrams. Like they want either more than one beverage or they want a higher milligram drink. So do you think that you are going to eventually make drinks with a higher milligram? Or do you think you're going to kind of stay where you are with the 5 and 10 milligram?
You know, I think we should make whatever the customers want. Is ultimately what it is. And with my background, I'd love to make anything for the cannabis space, high dosage. I know I'm going to be making low dosage. So we'll see how it goes, see what the licensing structure looks like, see what it costs to do that. But I think there's definitely people out there that a 10 milligram is just like a little help, but not where they'd like to be.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't sit there and drink six at a time.
Yes. Yes.
Have other issues.
It's a lot of liquid, yeah. Right? Is really what it comes down to, is a lot of liquid. Yeah. I mean, I've talked with plenty of smokers and they're like, I don't even mess around with that. And I'm like, well, so then what are you drinking? Mm-hmm. Right. And whatever it is that they're drinking, this doesn't have to replace that, but you already understand the benefits that you're getting from flower. Right. And sure, maybe not getting all of the benefits, but also reducing anything going into your lungs in that scenario. If you're smoking and you've smoked for years, you understand why you do that and why not continue to support it with more cannabinoids as you're sipping on something.
Yeah.
Would be my argument to that person, because for some of us, it is about getting high. And for a lot of us, it really that's just a side effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a happy side effect for most, but I mean, I enjoy the benefits of not having to take ibuprofen every single day. I enjoy the benefits of not having to be on a pharmaceutical to balance my mood, right? If you need to, then you need to, and I totally understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to do it differently because I've done it the other way.
Well, you know, we've peppered Kevin with questions, but we haven't asked him anything about who he is.
Yeah, we should ask him that.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's single. That's all we really know right now.
Yeah, right? We do. He's single and he works at Insight Brewing and Flavor Pixels and sees 100 accounts a month.
Yeah.
That's what we know so far.
And we know
so
he's available.
What else do we want to know?
So where are you from? What made you get into THC? I guess, you know. Do you indulge? I'm sure you do.
Right? I do.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about you. Do you have a dog? You got a couple of goldfish at home?
I got a dog. Her name is Cece. She's 14. She's a Labrador, so she's wonderful. She walks with me every day, which is great. Mm-hmm. Okay. How I got into this? Well, I was thinking about what to do with my adult self. I had done a stint in technology, IT consulting, value-added reseller, computers, did some mortgage work, and most recently spent 15 years doing new builder real estate for a couple of nationals here locally. So at the end of that rainbow, I had $250 million territory for real estate with, you know, 30 neighborhoods that we were in charge of. So that was pretty fun, but highly stressful. People would yell at me on a daily basis. And I thought, you know what? This isn't as much fun as it used to be. So back in the day, when I first bought my house, I was 23 years old. And lo and behold, what was in this house? Somebody had been a photographer. There was a photography darkroom. And I looked this up because I remember it exactly this way. In 1997, gold was trading for $300 an ounce. And in 1997, weed was about $400 an ounce, at least in my local economy. So I started growing for the 7 years until my son was born. And then I'm like, I'm not going to lose my kid over weed, so let's stop. And I put everything into storage. And when it became legal again, I decided last August to fire it up in all the old equipment, the 1,000-watt high pressure sodium, everything worked. It's all analog. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But that's how I got into the cannabis side of the space. And the beer side, I had been a home brewer and met the guys, and that's how we got all the shiny equipment to make what ended up being Flavor Pixels.
Isn't that beautiful, that like, I just thought about what you said. I didn't want to lose my kid over weed.
Right.
Isn't it beautiful that now you don't have to worry about that? Just losing your child over weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing anything over it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It seems
very, losing very your family, you know, losing your, you know, your whole identity, the way you, the way you make money, your income. Because, you know, just think about it. When we meet people, what's one of the first things they say? What do you do?
Right.
You know, and our whole, our job kind of, it forms our identity, you know.
But in the United States, it
right,
does.
Right.
Right.
But just think about how many people lost that over weed.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here drinking it, you know. It's a billion-dollar industry now, this hemp industry. We're drinking it, and just think how many people, you know, lost everything.
Right.
Lost their families.
Lost their opportunities.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I mean, whether you're the person going in or you're the person that had somebody go in.
Exactly.
It's bad on both sides. So always in Minnesota?
Yeah. Always. I grew up in Burnsville, went to Burnsville High School, went to St. Thomas, right across the river from where I live now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been here I lived in my house for darn near 30 years. So I'm playing the long game.
Yeah.
Are you barbecuing for us this weekend?
I certainly could.
You and CeCe?
Here we go. Oh man. 23. That's it. That's young to own a home.
Yep.
So, so, you know, we don't have children under the age of 21 that would listen to this show by any means. But if you were talking to a 21-year-old, right, or us to bring home to our kids so that they can get out of our houses, right, how do you set yourself up? Or what did it look like in order to, you know, purchase your first home at 23? I know what it looked like for me. I was 21 when I purchased my first home, but it was like a family situation that I still paid like full price for that house, but it was unique and a little bit easier maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of ways for people to get into real estate if they want to, and real estate's a fabulous tool to hedge against inflation, makes your life a little bit more certain. You can work at paying it off, and it truly goes up in value over time in most cases. Over the long time frames, you could say, oh, I bought in 2000, whatever, and it went down. Like, yeah, that can happen.
Right.
The things that you have to manage, having been on that side of the business, is do you have the required down payment if one is required? Might be 3.5%, might be 5%, might
right.
be 10, or might be 20. Do you have the required credit? Will people loan you money because you pay your bills on time? Do you have charge-offs, judgments, late payments? All those things are important. So knowing what you can do to help out, I help out my sons by putting them as co-signers on all of my credit cards. Why did I do that for a 15-year-old? Is because it builds their credit, and they don't have to do anything. They don't even know they have cards. Right. But, you know, at the end of that rainbow, they'll look like, you know, a 24-year-old rather than an 18-year-old, which is why I know that I should do that, and everybody else should. People should know that you should never charge more than 50% of the credit you've been extended, because that will knock down your credit score by about 50 points. So these are all the things that nobody taught any of us in school.
Right.
I learned as a loan officer because I'd see thousands of credit reports over the course of my career. And you get to see what people make for a living too. So you're like, oh, well, if I'm a lawyer, I make great money. You know, and if I'm a school teacher, I make a lot less money. And it's very, very interesting. So those are the three things. Basically, do you have money? Do you have the income to support whatever the payment's going to be based on the interest rate? And do you have the credit to support it as well?
How does, I don't know, I'm just intrigued in real estate as well. But, you know, we're looking at median home values. You probably know better than me, but like low fours, right? Like high threes, low fours. And in the United States, I don't know. Do you have any idea what the median? Because really what the point that I'm trying to get at, or the question that I'm trying to ask, is how do you do that now?
I learned that myself. You know, I look at what homes cost in my neighborhood, and I'm like, house next door to me is going to go up for sale for $420,000. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, even before talking about taxes and insurance, you're north of $2,500.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't want a $2,500 a month home payment.
No.
I don't want that at all. And so I look at, you know, any 23-year-old, 30-year-old, you know, just getting started, And I'm like, that's a tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking when I bought my house that that $1,000 a month seemed pretty expensive to me compared to my $40,000 worth of income. But if you model it out over time, what it tells you is that that house is going to cost a big chunk of your disposable income.
Yeah. Right.
But it's important. I mean, if you can lock down what you're living in, and you can say, hey, 3-5 years, I'm cool being here, it's hard to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to make some progress in paying that back. It's not like rent where it all goes to your landlord. It's coming back to you. Not a lot, but it's not nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not going away completely.
Yeah.
Right.
The debate always is, will the rates support prices changing?
Sure.
And will they go up? Will they go down?
Yeah.
So since we're talking about cost and price and income and inflation, I know you're into co-packing, right? Mm-hmm. Are you finding that more business owners are going towards the slim cans versus the regular 12-ounce cans? And is it a huge, I know it's a huge price difference. So are you finding more business owners are just saying, you know what, I'll just spend the extra money and go with the slim can versus, you know, just a regular can for co-packing their THC beverages?
It's all a choice that, you know, you're going to make as a manufacturer. I'd tell you, I don't have the capability to do slim cans. I'd have to make some investments in plant and equipment to do that. Mm-hmm. The cost for slim cans, I haven't even looked at, to be honest, but I know that 12-ounce cans are probably the least expensive thing you can get. So it ultimately drives back at what do you want your beverage to be priced at. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying, hey, I'm going to spend an extra 10 cents a can over the scale and over the time, it adds up. Mm-hmm. It's like Superman 3, almost half pennies.
Yeah, it is, right? Like, what do you want the brand to look like, right? And for a lot of folks, price drives the conversation, right? You can have better juice in the can. It can look way better. It can be marketed heavier. All of these things can be true,
right?
And they don't sell, right? I was just talking with a distributor the other day, and they're like, great brand. This is this. And it doesn't sell. We can't figure it out. And we can't. We're always chasing that consumer. Where are they at? What is it that they want? Right? I always joke about, like, what does Blue Raz taste like? Right? What is it? What the hell is this flavor? Right? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? But what actually is it? Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out people like it. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, they
right?
do.
Just keep going.
Yeah. So I have a question. What's your favorite edible?
What is my favorite edible?
Yeah. Ooh,
I don't want to, like, name brands.
Yep.
Hey, I knew that was going to be the flavor.
Okay,
is it Blue Raz?
If I were to have my favorite flavor, it would be peach.
Peach.
Yeah, peach?
I like peach.
And how much
like peach? Those little peach gummy rings things.
Yep, the peach rings.
Okay.
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 And who's doing a peach gummy right now?
I don't know.
I don't know that there is a bunch of people doing a peach gummy.
As an industry person, I end up trading a lot, so I'll trade my samples for their samples. So I've got a drawer full of stuff that I've yet to try that I'm embarrassed to admit. But make your way through it.
Right.
Yeah.
No peach.
Tons of samples. Yes. Yes.
I do too. But what I do is I use that as my tip for one of my favorite bartenders.
Oh.
I'm just like, I'll show up and I'll be like, boom, boom. Okay. I'll do, you know, try what I need to try. And then I'm like, okay. I'd rather eat these other things. And I mean, there's so much, right? Like when you are in industry, the buyer at the liquor store, right? I was talking to somebody, not even at a liquor store, at another dispensary. And they're like, well, I'm like 4 months behind on sampling. I'm like, I know it's tough. Like you have to be dedicated to be able to get through that and to be able to actually keep up and understand what it is that's coming into market. You can't wait on that sample, right? Like I heard 4 months. I was like, this is craziness. In my head, I said that. I probably should have said it out loud. But bonkers, 4 months on a sample when it could be on your shelf making you money.
I hear.
So you're saying this is crazy town. Isn't that what General Kelly said about our ex-president? When he quit, he said, this is crazy town. That's what you were saying?
I'm sure.
Yeah. We hear at stores all the time that it's crazy, and they're like, oh, we got a 4-month wait list for new products. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If you've got a 4-month wait list, you tell me your bottom 10% that's there, and you just go and drop it.
That's what,
right? It's going to take some work, but within that 4 months that you have a wait list, it can take you 4 months in order to clear the product to be able to shore up. Sorry, I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated.
That's what
with
I
like
did
that,
last that, Sunday. You just got to put your foot down. Just do the shit.
Right.
Go in on the sun, spend your whole fucking Sunday, and okay, what's going on with this? This, I mean, like we have over 300 products in our store.
Yeah.
And I fucking just say, you know what? I woke my son up. Let's go. And you know, he brought his iPad and clip, and we just got to do it.
Right.
You know, just get it done.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, samples and giveaway, don't we have some giveaways? And
we're giving away some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're giving away a case of Flavor Pixels.
Okay.
So 24 whole cans.
Okay.
Our choice of which cans is what we don't want. No, they're all good. Well, that's what they always say. Anyways, so we're giving that away. And what's the thing that somebody should put in the comments in order to enter?
I would say hashtag Love Insight Brewing.
Hashtag Love Insight Brewing?
Yeah.
Or Flavor Pixels.
Yeah, or Flavor Pixel. The only thing is they haven't tried it yet. But
they might have.
Yeah.
This crap is all over everywhere. Yeah, they had to have had it.
But, you know, if you go to Inside Brewing, you know, here's the thing. Like, when I drove there, I was like, you know, I'm following my MapQuest. And then, like, you turn this MapQuest?
Do they actually have a map?
Shit.
It was printed
map
out.
Something.
We're all old enough for this MapQuest, but for those of you,
I might as well have a Hotmail.
That's a deep cut. That's a deep cut.
Shit.
AOL, baby.
Yeah. In my bag. Shit.
Right. I was driving. I was up in St. Cloud the other day, and I'm like, what? Like something popped into my head about how I just have like the set of like, there was only probably 3 CDs that I listened to, but I listened to constantly, right?
You still listen to CDs?
No, I don't. But I was thinking about it because I'm listening to this same like radio from Spotify. And I'm like, I listen to this one all the time. And then I switch over to this other one because it's a little bit different. And it brought me back to the CDs. And I was like, and then I looked at the infotainment center and the center console, the dash, and I'm like, couldn't even do it.
Nope.
Couldn't even do it. So anyways, you were MapQuest in your way.
Yeah, I thought.
Somewhere.
My printed MapQuest.
You know? I mean, I was surprised. I thought I had missed something. Man, they'd come out with an app.
I remember those days, too.
Gosh. I mean,
shit.
It's like the record player.
Man.
I mean, I know that it never really went
like
away
CDs,
for enthusiasts.
Okay?
It's like CDs.
Yeah.
Laserdisc, maybe. It was around for a little bit longer than that. We engaged more with it, right? Just imagine how much ink, how much toner, right, was used in order for us to figure out how the hell we were getting somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so back to it.
Hashtag Love Inside Brew. Because I say that because when I drove there and I like turned the corner, it's like this big, beautiful building.
Yeah.
Like it like really, really stands out. It's actually gorgeous. And then you go there. It's huge. The staff is really nice. But the building is gorgeous.
Right.
Absolutely loved it.
Okay. So hashtag Inside Brewing or hashtag Flavor Pixels.
Yeah.
We'll accept both.
Yeah.
And you may not add it up, but of course we're gonna be like, so which is it, right? Yeah. Is it Inside Brewing that won, or is it Flavor Pixels? We're just kind of like going against each other, like brand on brand, but it's in-house.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I love that idea.
Okay.
And are we picking like number 48, number 52, number 25?
We'll figure it out. Somebody's winning some cool shit.
Somebody's winning some cool shit. I love it.
I mean, talk about a barbecue. That would be a fun barbecue. Yeah. You got a case of Flavor Pixels in the cooler.
And we're all going to Kevin's house.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to have this shit on ice.
Right.
He's going to be barbecuing.
We're not giving that away. We're just giving away a case. If it's at your house, it's going to be at Kevin's house
for 30 years. We're going to his house. Okay.
His lawn looks nice for sure, right?
His lawn is barbecue ready. I can see it right now. You know it, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to make bratwurst, right? See, I'm from Milwaukee.
What do you call it there?
Brock?
Yeah. Where did the CK come from?
I'm black.
Brockwurst?
Yeah,
Brockwurst.
Brockwurst. And then when we're barbecuing, we don't even need... See, you guys use tongs and a fork. Nope. See, we have our nails done, and we just got there, and we'll just flip it.
Yeah, you just flip it with the nails. Yeah. But if it's really hot, your nails are that good that they're not... They don't even melt, huh?
Let me tell you, we go so fast... Because there's other shit we're usually cooking in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to be outside on, there's nobody on this grill. So, you're running in between both of them.
So my husband, he does come along. Like, let me do that, you know.
Right.
You know, you men got this testosterone thing going and you're like, let me do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. You know, we have to let you think you're in charge.
Yeah. We understand the game.
A lot of us
may not, but
yeah,
you get plus 40. You figure out the game.
We accept.
Right. Yep. Right. So I hope you eat pork because my family eats pork. I don't want to hear that shit about vegan. Okay. And don't start writing letters into the show about vegan either.
No, write the letters in. You don't even know our address.
You know, people write, how can you talk about, yes, we talk about pork.
Yeah.
Bratwurst and ribs. We're eating ribs. Delicious. And rib tips. So don't start writing in talking about how wrong we are for eating pork.
Well, you want to know what's going to happen? We're probably going to get the Pork Council or something like that as a sponsor. It's going to be fantastic.
Then we need to send them some weed samples so they can calm down. No,
they need to send us pork samples. We trade. That's what Kevin was saying. Like samples for samples. That's how everybody does it.
Well, he's going to be making bratwurst and
I can feel this being manifested.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk. Let's future talk because it's so hard to do that, right? You know, crystal ball it, however we want to look at it. You know, oh, man, this is 2 years down the road, right? 2 years down the road. Where are we in Minnesota? I'll intentionally leave it a little vague. Where are we in Minnesota and where are we in the United States in relation to cannabinoid beverages or intoxicating beverages.
Yeah.
Hard to look into the future, but it's hard to imagine, you know, marijuana not being reclassified as a Schedule 3.
Right.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Beverages, Minnesota as a leader is going to be really, really interesting. A lot of the states that have a dispensary model, drinks aren't really a thing. You know, there's like flower, 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 because that's what it's always been. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how sticky beverages have become over the 18 months to 2 years worth of exclusivity. Have tastes built up where that's going to continue, or are people going to change and do something different? Is their tolerance going to build and say, 10 milligrams really isn't enough for us? I think there's enough first-timers out there, and I think it's a healthy alternative to vaping and smoking a bowl, that I think it sticks around. I think the formulations will change. I think people will understand that, hey, the minor cannabinoids are the fun part in addition to the THC, and we'd really like to see a more full-spectrum experience rather than just THC. I think that becomes a thing that more people are doing better. If we're lucky, the laws have changed so we can use some of the cooler minor cannabinoids that we currently can't use. So that would be really helpful to just make sure that, hey, in that two-year window, I'm certain that that will happen.
Right.
So I think the beverage space is booming. I think Minnesota's model spreads elsewhere, and I think a lot of us get tapped for our industry expertise in that market.
Because I agree with that.
It's so new, so different. People have no data. That's why they can't pick what's on their shelf. There's like, hey, usually the distributor comes in here and tells me what's not moving. And that's not necessarily enough data to have that happen.
Right.
Can I follow up on something you just mentioned about Minnesota and their model and being a leader? So, you know, we just had the first hemp beverage conference, which I thought was absolutely wonderful. The folks on that board are just fabulous. Do you see the hemp beverage conference going national? and having, you know, other speakers come in from other states, like, do you see it being really big, like MJ Biz? You know, we did have the THC beverage conference going on, but that was canceled for this year. They're now looking to 2025. When I went last year, Minnesota was, you know, the talk of the conference. But do you see the hemp beverage conference replacing the THC beverage conference and, you know, not only going national, but global in terms of being a big conference?
You know, the more events that we can get industry folks together, get producers, get retailers together, the better off we're all going to be. So one versus the other, I mean, it would be great to see any beverage group go national, just because I think these beverages truly benefit humanity, myself, mm-hmm. yourselves. And it's a good thing. As a manufacturer of both alcohol and THC-based products, I have a hard time not leaning toward the THC as the less harmful of the two alternatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just true. So I think the more of this stuff is out there, the better off we all are. You know, maybe some people are waiting for the stop sign to turn green, but hey,
yeah,
there are worse things.
We like facts though, right? Yeah. Our liver tells us some things. There's a good amount of history mm-hmm. that's there. Something you mentioned, the minor cannabinoids is where all the fun is. I think that the THC beverage, the isolate THC that's happening, whatever distillates it's coming from, I'm sure you've got some different experiences that are within there. But isolating THC on its own, bit of a challenge when you don't give THC another cannabinoid buddy, in a sense, right? So you're talking more full spectrum beverages. What are probably, let's go with two of those minor cannabinoids and why? So we're restricted on some cannabinoids. I'm interested to understand which ones you believe to be the ones we should have. And likely those are probably the same ones that we would like to have in beverage for a multitude of reasons. So what are a couple of those cannabinoids you were talking about?
Well, let's start with what we have. We have THC, we have CBD, and we have CBG. Those are the ones that are written, says 0.5 milligrams of all other minor cannabinoids. Mm-hmm. Now, there's certainly rumors out there that, hey, you can do this, or hey, you can do that. And people are certainly doing it. I'm not yet, because I would like to see the words. As a lawyer, I'm sure you can agree that I'd rather be yes. safe than I have to replace all my boxes and all yes. my labels. The ones that I'm interested in, the ones that I think should become part of the law, would be things like THCV, kind of an uplift, a cousin of THC. I would love to see CBC, and I would love to see CBN,
mm-hmm.
in addition to CBD and CBG. Those are the fun ones. And I'm sure there are others that I haven't experienced yet, but those are the ones that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, for our listeners, tell us a little more about what CBG is?
Well, I train my team to say it's the giddy up. It's kind of mm-hmm. the up buzz part of mm-hmm. the THC experience if added as a minor cannabinoid. And it seems right now in the market to be one of the most popular minor cannabinoids that people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I have store owners telling me people are in here looking for that in addition to the THC is the most frequent ask at the moment.
And what about THCV? Tell us a little more about.
So THCV, you know, people tell me that are smarter than I am that it's a non-intoxicant, but it's a very uplifting. It's the young version, I think, if I'm remembering right, the young version of THC that eventually converts. But it's an uplifting, kind of similar to CBG effect to the whole experience. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I'd love to add it if I could.
It's also known to be
an appetite suppressant.
Mm-hmm. And that bit, if we think about caloric content and things like that, and, you know, beer's beer. There's some calories in a lot of, I mean, the whole like Miller Lite, Michelob Ultra type of situation has been going on for years and years and years, right? And 100 calories has almost become like the mark for beverage on what needs to happen. So having THCV in there to alleviate, perhaps, some folks really enjoy the munchy part of it, right? But let's just say that you're trimming down for whatever the reason may be, or you enjoy staying trim and you know what can happen if you let yourself loose, right? The THCV could be great for munchies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all had the experience. I had a competitor's product at a store and I was at home and I ended up crushing a really uncomfortable amount of chili. I'm like, that's what CBC is like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with some of these. So the minor cannabinoids that people don't really know a lot about right now, this is your warning that it's keep listening. You'll mm-hmm. be able to find out all of this stuff anyways. But if you're a reader and you like to investigate some things and learn some stuff, then get out onto the interwebs and look up the CBCs and all of the different things that start with T and C and have a little bit of fun with it, because the studies are starting to come out too, which is, I think, probably my favorite part of where we're sitting is we've been able to start studying a little bit more. And we can't say that this does this or this does that, right? But what I can say is I used to take 800 to 1600 milligrams a day, and now I don't. You can't argue with that. That's just facts, right? So, a couple of years down the line, I don't think I dispute a single thing that you've said there on where we are with beverage. I think more, I think more alcohol brands are going to enter the space. We've started to see it happen already. The spread of hemp beverages across the country by way of Total Wine, pretty much, right? And if you want to go and shop there, you want to go and shop there. If you don't want to go and shop there, you don't want to go and shop there. I understand everybody's points, okay? But that's a pretty cool thing. I don't know that if that wasn't happening, then I would be maybe a little bit more anxious about the farm bill, right? That'll be it's too much noise, right? Like if you make it so that it's going to be so darn noisy that people are like, do we really mess around with it? We can just leave it there.
Yeah, I think we should just leave it alone. That's my thought. Because before I get back to you, because I like for you to explain CBN, because I take CBN at night to help me sleep, but I'm going to have you explain it. But back to what you said really quick, I think they should leave it alone because, there's a lot of benefits right now. For me personally, I really don't even want to drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. I used to come home, got to have a glass of wine, mm-hmm. Thinking that's the thing to, help me relax, or make a tequila pineapple or something.
Right.
But here's the thing. That tequila pineapple, that fucking pineapple juice, I'm thinking about all the juice I had. I got diabetes.
Right.
You
got diabetes from juice. Wait till the juice council comes after us. Juice. Get at us in the
juice
comments.
Juice and the munchies, You look at Doritos, totally different after, that THC, when you get the munchies.
Uh-huh.
Between that and the juice.
Oh, just a whole bag.
Right. Yeah. But, I've never felt healthier.
Right.
Not drinking alcohol, not drinking the juice. And, I take my metformin and my atorvastatin. But guess what? I can drink a hemp beverage and I don't feel hungover the next morning. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel, just bogged down and dragging. Mm-hmm. I feel great.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I don't have the hits to my health.
Right.
With drinking, that other stuff. And, mm-hmm. I know we're supposed to drink in moderation, but.
Right. But, some of us just don't do that.
No.
I mean, so CBN.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So CBN, question about CBN.
For our listeners, and our viewers, because they do have questions, they see the stuff and they're like, what is that?
They ask us questions in the comments all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So people with experience with just flower in general, let's say in your past, sometimes you've smoked some weed that's not so good. It might have come in the back of a truck from a very long distance and be brown and gross. You're gonna have one experience.
Smell like gas.
Yeah, one experience with that, and you might travel to a You might travel to Jamaica and have weed that's debilitating where you're going to like literally fall into the couch and stay there.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do in the beverage space with minor cannabinoids, including CBN, is to try and recreate those marijuana experiences, because not all marijuana is the same.
Right.
You have indica, you have sativa, they hit your body and your head differently. And what we're trying to do is to recreate that effect with use of the minor cannabinoids, including CBN. And to answer your question directly, CBN, I believe, is a equivalent to a muscle relaxer. It basically will allow people, or for most people, experience it as a sleep aid in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be added to a beverage to make it feel stronger, because it will have that effect as well. So I've seen products add it in a small amount as kind of the punch at the end to make the beverage hit harder. So it can be used in one of those two ways in my experience.
Okay. Well, I know we're almost up for time here, so.
We are. Any last thoughts?
Not really. Just that I'm excited for the hemp market. I mean, I think it's going great. I'm excited about what Minnesota is doing, and you know, in this space. And there are a lot of wonderful producers in this space. A lot of great people.
Yeah. That's true. And one of them is Kevin.
People definitely make tasty beverages, and there's a lot of love in this industry. Everybody there wants everybody to win, and I'm proud that Minnesota's leading. This is one of the few things where we get to create a market. It's new. It's never been done before. We all, as smart people, get to figure it out.
Yep.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yes, Minnesota is winning it. Other states are looking at us, and they're wondering, how are you guys doing it? So, and I think that's one of the ways we are doing it, is showing each other love, and I really do appreciate that.
That's what this is all about. Showing each other love, right?
Oh, yeah.
Informing folks about what is going on, and then getting folks in the industry together to talk about what is happening, right? Like, what do we think about it? What does everybody else think about it?
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, I love it.
Help people.
All right.
Fantastic. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Kevin. Cheers. Yeah.